Welcome to Popular Cultural Sharing. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. Welcome back, everyone, to Popular Cultural Cherry. For this week's episode, we have with us Toby Crick. Toby, I found through YouTube. He actually had a very active YouTube channel a couple of years back where he was based in the Philippines. So he's originally from Germany. He moved to the Philippines for a couple of years and he started talking about his experiences in the Philippines, filming a little bit of his day-to-day life and reflecting about his adventures there. He had a YouTube video with around 180,000 views, which is quite big. So we could say that he's a famous YouTuber. Now back in Germany, he is a personal growth coach and runs a podcast called Selbstbewusstsein, which means self-consciousness, self-awareness, or self-confidence, something to that extent. So yeah, let's go straight into the interview with Toby.
If I'm totally honest, I didn't initially plan to come to the Philippines. I didn't really know where the Philippines were. I didn't know much about the Philippines at all. My wife and I, we applied to work abroad with called an NGO organization type of work. And we applied for Cambodia. And then our organization, actually, they asked us if we could go to the Philippines. And that was the first time. I think it was really the first time that I actually heard about the Philippines. And so we went there and we didn't know much. And the whole love for the Philippines, but also the challenges and everything, that happened when we were there. So we knew that we were going to the Philippines for 3 years, I think 2 months before we went there. So there was not much time to prepare.
Is this kind of like the same organization that Simon was part of?
Yes, no, very, very similar. It's like they are affiliated.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so for those of you who didn't listen to that episode, like I had Simon, who's also from Germany, on my show a bit earlier, and he talked about his experience as well, but it was through an NGO that was more on the religious side, and that's how they ended up doing some work in Tacloban. So yours was something similar.
Something similar, yeah. Now they are very close affiliated. It's also a religious organization.
Oh, okay. And I guess prior to you coming to the Philippines, like you said, you didn't know anything, but like, were you forced to like do research, or did they have some kind of like, I don't know, like cultural introduction, like, oh, this is like what to expect. Like, oh, these are like the norms that you need to follow once you're there. And it's a lot different from Germany.
1 month before we went to the Philippines, we had the privilege to go to Singapore, where the headquarters is from our organization. And then we had 1 month of preparation, very general about like Asian culture, Asian, like all the stuff that is very generally about Asia in terms of culture. And then we had a couple of hours with some people. It was some Filipinos and some people who worked in the Philippines who gave us a little bit more deeper insight. But other than that, it was just like, just go there and experience. Which first felt really overwhelming because coming from Germany, I never really went abroad at all. And I didn't expect culture to be so different than it is. So the facial expressions, the way people talk to each other, the way people treated us, the way it's just so different from what I'm used to. And it took me quite a while to get used to it and also to adapt or to use those traits for myself.
So when you were living in Germany, like your childhood and when you grew up, you never really traveled, like even inside Europe or?
Inside Europe, we did some traveling, like go to Italy, to Netherlands or to some places, but nothing. Well, that's it basically. Yeah, nothing else.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that must have been big. Like a really, really different trip for you and your... Was your wife already?
Yes,
back then, or?
Yes, we went together.
So you're already married. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you know, as a Filipino, what's the first question everybody asks you when you are married in a married couple and you sit in the back of a jeepney or taxi and who's, like people are asking you all the time. And the first questions were always like, do you have a Filipina wife? And I said, no, I'm married already. Do you have children? I was like, no. How many? Why not? That was always the question. Like, do you have children? Why not? And for German, like from my German background, those are kind of sensitive questions in our culture. It's like, you don't ask people how long they are married or if they have children. And if they don't have children, you don't ask why. But in the Philippines, everybody was so openly talking about those topics. And in the first weeks, it was so overwhelming. Looking back, it's beautiful. I like it. Fun.
That's true. I've never come across anybody ask me this question. Like, oh, are you married? Do you have kids? In Germany?
No.
I guess, what would the first question they ask you be? More about
Germany.
Your job.
Yeah, your job. Yeah, exactly. It's like, Levin, what do you for a living?
What do you do for a living? But in the Philippines, nobody would really ask that. Because like the differences between jobs and social classes are very big. So like it's a bit of a sensitive question. So I think that's more sensitive than family. But here it's more like family is more sensitive. Because like that's something you share in common with other people is always like family. So it's easier to I think people think like it's easier to relate with people if you talk about family, which here is like, I wouldn't say taboo, but like just nobody asks about it. So actually my girlfriend, she's German. And when I met her parents and her grandparents for the first time, oh, her dad spoke English very fluently. Everyone else only spoke German. But anyway, my girlfriend would translate. But in general, I found it so weird that they never asked me anything about their family. Like my what do your parents do? Like, oh, your grandparents, like, how are they like? Or you have like cousins or whatever, brother, sister, like.
That tells you a lot about the culture in general, I guess. Right. It's I think a lot of Asian cultures, but also the Filipino culture, they're very, what's that called? Not very individualistic. What's the opposite of individualistic? It's the way you define yourself is not just by who you are, it's also by your family,
it's
by
more
your
communal, more social.
Yes,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And in Germany, it's really mostly about like you, your job, your achievements, how do you look like? It's very individualistic. And both sides, I believe, have ups and like pros and cons. But for us to have this change in the Philippines, that was quite a shock.
Let's talk about you guys actually deciding to come back and not stay in the Philippines or in Asia. Did you actually have the opportunity to stay longer, or did you guys want to just come back after your program?
That was the end of our contract. Like we had three-year contract. In the first place, it was a 2-year, and we extended for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And then our time was up. And there could have been an option to go back, but we both felt, like my wife and I, we both felt it's time to go back. I had a few dreams or things that I wanted to do that started in the Philippines, thinking about my life that I wanted to have going forward. And that's what I was going after in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to come back sometimes to the Philippines. Not sure if I would live there for forever or if I'm just visiting. No idea, but I'm still looking forward to coming back.
You've lived there for 3 years. I'm pretty sure you have made some pretty good friends there as well.
Yeah.
3 years is a long time, especially if you're not living in Manila. Like you're bound to make tons of friends. Like people are just interested in like foreigners. Like compared to other Southeast Asian countries, like the Philippines does not, especially there are parts of the Philippines really that does not get any foreigners. So they're just like curious about you and you know, they ask a lot of questions.
They were. Sure. And it took us quite a while to, I think for me it was about 6 to 8 months until I really felt at home, or I really felt like those people are my friends. They would have called me friend much earlier than I would have, because from my German background, you got to have deep conversations. You got to have all those things in order to call it a deep friendship.
Right.
In the Philippines, at first, there was the language barrier. We lived in Samar. And most of the Waray-Waray people there, they couldn't speak any English. They couldn't speak any German, of course. And so there was a huge language barrier, and there was a cultural barrier. And for me to accept that they just like me, they just trust me. So they are my friends, even though we can't talk on a deep level. And it took more than a year, 1.5 years, until we could speak the language, that we had deeper conversations with the people. But actually, nothing much changed, because I believe, I'm not sure if this is true for you too, but in our area, I believe that, and this is quite beautiful, friendship, we didn't have to talk in order to have good friendship. We just had to be together. We just had to help each other. It was so much easier to get along than sometimes I felt in Germany.
Yeah, I think in general, like it's easy to make acquaintances. To some extent, like Filipinos would think that acquaintances equals friendship, which I like actually. Like it's, so to get to like, acquaintance to friendship level is very, very fast. But in Germany, I feel that there's like a big bridge, a long bridge that you have to cross to get to like becoming like a real friend.
Then it's freaking deep.
But then it becomes really deep. It's like you can't get rid of them, which is also good.
Yeah. Isn't it beautiful, Darwin, that we can learn from both sides and just integrate whatever we want into our life? I believe it's quite beautiful. It's really nice.
Yeah, I really like it. And I think you could, obviously, like you said, like there's no wrong or right. And it's just nice to be able to learn something new and try to mix them, to combine them and kind of like get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, to talk about like topics like this. You had one video where you talked about like reverse culture shock, or when you came back to Germany. So after like this 3 years you were in the Philippines, you came back to Germany. I don't know, like in this video, you said that like it felt so strange for you. And you felt like you really changed. And how's that whole experience?
Yeah, I just remember the first months in Germany, they were horrible. It felt so, everything felt so wrong and so cold and so cold-hearted. And after 3 years in the Philippines, actually a couple of months before we went back, I really had the strong feeling of, okay, now I have arrived. I know my way around. I know people. I know people really as my friends. I could live in this country now because this is my home. And then to be torn out, because it was just the end of the contract, but then to go back to Germany felt like the whole process of coming to a new culture all over again. So although I was happy to see my friends here, I was happy to enjoy some of the foods that I couldn't eat in the Philippines or whatever, it really felt like being a tourist rather than this would be my home. And all the things that I enjoyed in the Philippines, the friendliness of the people sitting in the jeepneys. Sometimes I was annoyed by that, yeah? Because like me, I'm more than 2 meters tall, like 6'7". I think it's LeBron James or whatever. So it's
wow,
like
you're tall.
His heights.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very tall. And when I was walking through, last year we lived in Manila. And when I was walking around those streets and there were some people at the side of the streets in some squatters or in the mall or whatever, it's like I always had a lot of attention. People were saying, hello, hey, Joe, hey, Joe. And they were saying hello. And they were talking with me about my height. And that it was so much fun. But sometimes I was annoyed because of all the attention. In Germany, nobody cared. Nobody said hello. I was like walking down the street. And in the first months, it was like, hello, I'm here. Why is nobody greeting me? Why is nobody saying hello? Hello, I'm here. But nobody seemed to care because I was so used to all the laughing and smiling faces in the Philippines. And it felt so cold. It took me like half a year to get used to it again.
This is true. Like sometimes I think more older people, like the older generation especially, I think they greet you more like in public when you're walking, like hello, tag. Like sometimes they greet you, especially when you go to like a small random village in the middle of nowhere.
Oh yeah.
I find that like sometimes the old people, they're like really, really nice. Like of course they're not gonna, seldom they like chat with you, but most of the time at least they say hi, hello, eye contact or whatever. But like in the cities or like younger people, I feel like they just have their own kind of world. So yeah, I really miss that too. But I just can't imagining it here happening in Germany. Like it's just so weird, I think. I think people would find it weird, right?
Yeah, there are a couple of people doing this in every city, I guess, but some people find that weird. But it's a good reminder because I want to be more like this person. Like in a cafe, there are different tables and different people. I just want to be the guy who comes to a table and asks them, hey, let's chat, let's sit for a while. Or like this is this type of things. I haven't done it in quite some time, to just talk with people randomly on the street.
Now that my German is better, so I'm able to do this a bit more. And you know, just like if you're waiting in line, you know, just small talk, like the guy holding a newspaper and like talk about some stuff with my broken German, and they just find it amusing. But it's fine. Like the environment might be a bit colder, but it's also up to you to make it like more warmer, right? So it's always like the ball's on your court if you want to like, you know, make it more livable for you. Or besides like the warmness of the people, like what other kind of concrete examples can you give of things that you perceive very differently when you moved back to Germany?
It was much quieter. Much quieter. Oh yeah,
of course.
In the countryside, it was quite too sometimes. But yeah, you have those carts with the balut and people, and then you have the karaoke everywhere in every corner. Yeah. Especially in Manila, it was like loud and the traffic and a lot of people, and it was so much fun. But also sometimes it was just a little bit too loud, so I wanted to close all my windows and just be for myself for a while. And in Germany, I remember the first night we spent, it was at my in-law house. And the first night I was lying in bed and it was like, there's just no sound. It's just totally quiet because of those huge, like big houses. Everybody has those thick stone walls and windows, and there was no traffic at all. And it was so quiet. That was very different. The directness was very overwhelming. German people can be quite direct also in their criticism or in the way they talk to you. Whereas in the Philippines, I got used to this very sensitive, like there are some topics you don't talk straightly about. It's very, like there are topics like money. When you talk with waitresses or something, you don't do it straight. You don't hand out your money like this. You put it in those fancy little, what's that called, pockets or something. And you do it very discreetly. Like when I want to give you feedback that your podcast, I don't know, wrong, yeah. I would go to your girlfriend or something and ask her to tell you that I would go different ways. But in Germany, I would say like, Lawin, actually, your I did this before, like when you had this microphone on a different level. I was like, yeah. Lawin, the sound is crap. This is so German to say that. This is so German to say that. And in the beginning, I was totally overwhelmed. The people criticized me. They were very friendly, but I thought they were assholes. Just because I got used to, in the Philippines, everything seemed to be so much more polite and friendly than in Germany. I'm not sure if this is right for your experience, but I experienced
like that. For sure. Yeah, people, like, I think the term for it in English is like beating around the bush. So you don't like go straight, but you go around. And that's like exactly what you said, that, you know, you go through your girlfriend or your friend, but you never say it directly. Or you say it kind of directly, but you hide it with nice words. You know,
you don't say no, you say yes, maybe.
Yes, maybe, but the other guy already knows that's a no.
Right.
But exactly. That's just you trying to be like nice, so to say. Yeah. But in Germany, like, yeah, they just tell you straight up, which sometimes actually I like because it's more efficient. Like, okay, thanks for telling me. So I'm kind of used to people being direct to me. So when you told me, oh yeah, my mic's not sounding, it's like, fine, I'm trying to fix it. But I don't really, it doesn't affect me anymore. But I think any new person, maybe from a culture similar to the Philippines who moves to Germany would also find that very hard. Speaking of which, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, there were 11 new Filipino nurses in the city, in our city in Aachen. Yeah. And they're bringing, I think, 20 or something in just our city, because I think it's because of Corona, and, you know, they found out, oh, there's a lack of health workers. So you need to get health workers. And the Philippines actually has an oversupply of health workers that we need to kind of find jobs for somewhere else. And I met with them. One of them reached out. I think they found my podcast and like, oh, you're in Aachen. Like, let's hang out. And then I told them like the things that you should like prepare for now that you're in Germany. And I think this is one of the things we talked about. Like, cause some of them are very, very shy girls. You know how they are. Like some girls from the Philippines, they're very, very shy. They hardly talk. And then you work in Germany, and then maybe you have a boss that's super direct with you. You're just going to end up crying.
Yeah.
You're just going to end up crying because you don't know how to handle the directness. So I told them, you know, you have to get ready for this. Especially like for, exactly. And especially for some reason, like, girls in the Philippines who are coming from like the province, like they're not so confident about themselves. So they're very like emotional and very, so yeah, good luck. Good luck to them. But the nice thing is they're all together. So they're living together. They can share experiences. They have like, there's one building in Aachen that like their agency put them in. So they're all like happy there. So it's,
that can be helpful. Yeah.
Hopefully my podcast becomes helpful to them and like other people. Cause I think that's going to be like a trend moving forward, like especially in Germany, just like healthcare workers, getting more healthcare workers from abroad.
And also because that's also another difference that I experienced in the Philippines. I think the standing of old people or sick people is much higher than in Germany. There's a tendency in Germany or in Western cultures in general that if you are not productive for a society, you are perceived, your worth is perceived less, which is, of course, nobody would say like you're an old person, you're not worth anything. But there's some kind of tendency for many people in their heads that if you're old, if you are sick, then you're just not that high of a, your value is not that high. So, and in the Philippines, I experienced the same thing completely different, like old people and sick people. People were that we got to know were really good in caring, really, really, really respectful and loving. And I think for an old, sick German lady in the hospital, it can be a really beautiful, beautiful moment when this young, nice Filipina comes in the room and she's smiling, she's respectful, and she's not in a rush. She's just there. It could be quite beautiful.
I was just imagining it, and it sounds really, yeah, beautiful. And actually, I heard
she's entering the room. It's like, what did you say?
And then probably the old Oma is like, huh? Why? Yeah. Why are you being too nice to me?
Yeah, right. What did I do? I just lied here.
Exactly. And I heard actually about like these retirement homes here in Germany, that there's like this very negative connotation of the people who work there and not being so caring, and like some scandals even of like being horrible to the other, or to the old people actually there.
Yeah, and the good ones are very expensive, but there are quite some scandals. And there's a trend even going to, when you're old, moving to Thailand or to the Philippines or to some Asian retirement homes, because people are more caring. And of course, with Western currency, life is much cheaper in Asia, in many countries in Asia.
Which I think makes sense, because when I heard about like how much, like minimum to get into one of these like retirement homes to pay, it's a lot.
It's big bucks.
Oh, and then the service is not that good. I'm like, of course it makes sense for you to go to Thailand or the Philippines, because you'll enjoy life more and you have someone beside you 24/7. You're not like sharing the same. Exactly. They speak English. Well, obviously, like the Germans would have to like speak some English, or the Filipinos there would learn some German. But I mean, it makes sense. It just makes sense, because like, here, maybe you have like one person caring for, I don't know, 10, 20 people. In the Philippines, you could easily, with like the pension you get here in Germany, if you had like an average job in Germany, with the pension you get here, you could easily afford like quite a luxurious life as a retired person there.
We had this one guy in the neighborhood on Samar. He was a retired Norwegian guy, I guess.
Yeah.
And he had this very simple house, but it was big. Like, it was just a tin roof and stuff. So it was quite simple, but it was big. And he had this big part of land. I think he was married to a Filipina and she owned it. And it was directly located next to the beach and next to the rocks that were there. Really beautiful. And he was always diving. Every day he was just going out in the ocean and diving for some stones to put them on the side to make it even more beautiful. So every day, his name was Anton. Anton was going out into his little own pool of ocean water there and taking some stones, putting them on the pile every day. It got more beautiful every day until the next tornado or tsunami hit. Then it was gone.
Oh.
Anyway.
That's something that happens in the Philippines. Maybe once every couple of years, that it's really bad in different parts of the Philippines when like it just wipes out. Just last week, like it also happened in Germany. So right now, yeah. I think with global warming, it could happen really anywhere. Do you think now that you've been back in Germany, how long actually have you been back in Germany?
4 years.
Four years.
It's been 4 years now.
4 years. And do you feel like you're like adapted well, and that you're like you've accepted everything?
Maybe it's just 3 years. Yeah, I'm just back in Germany, and I don't feel. I just have to reflect if this is true. Yeah, but no, I fully arrived. That's I'm just here. But the time in the Philippines, they left their marks in terms of understanding of different cultures, in terms of things that I appreciate now more than I did before. All the good things that I'm experiencing now, most of them anyway, they for me started through my Philippines experience. It's in my business, me being a coach, like living a personal development, personal growth lifestyle. This is all started in the Philippines. Me being happy because the shower is warm. It's like a warm shower. It's something so beautiful when you just had this cabo, the what's it called?
The tabo. Yeah, the tabo.
It was cabo in Warai. The tabo shower for a couple of years. And so it's just, even more enjoyable now in Germany. At the same time, there's sometimes this feeling when I think about the Philippines of like almost heartache. It's like, like the things that were beautiful become even more beautiful now in my imagination, because it was a very impactful and very beautiful time in the Philippines.
Obviously, like your memories are always going to be beautiful, and you're always going to reflect back on that. And also for me, like I've been living in Europe for what, 4 years now or so, and just my memories of the Philippines are like, even when I tell my friends, oh, I miss going to this place, and then they're like, what, that place wasn't even that good, and I'm like, oh, but it's my memory is just so beautiful and so awesome. Yeah, so just to go back to what you said earlier, you mentioned that, you know, because of your experience in the Philippines, it actually opened some doors for you when you came back to Germany. And one of that is this whole podcasting thing that you're doing. So maybe you can talk a little bit about like how it actually helped you, how these experiences help you, and then how you thought about starting this podcast of yours.
Yeah. I think the podcast for me, it's in German as well. The podcast is not for me, it's just a byproduct of what I'm learning or what I'm doing also as a job. I came back and I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I start my first own business as a media agency. And after that, I started to become a coach and to help people to grow personally. And the Philippines had a huge impact. I was for the first time, I really was confronted with poverty on a very deep level for me. I didn't experience this before. And when our organization or people that I talked to explained how they tried to help Filipinos who live in the slums, for example, to build their own business to support their family and stuff, they were so disappointed at times because people would start doing something, buying dried fish and selling it again for a little bit more expensive and then having some money. But after a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of days, they would just stop. They would just not do it anymore. It's too exhausting. It's too different. The environment, your friends and just tell you, just stay here, just stay in your hammock, everything will be fine. For me, that was the time when I asked myself, how, as a German middle-class guy who is considered kind of rich in the Philippines, how could I help poor Filipino people who have basically nothing to grow a business or to be able to grow financially as well? And for me, it was like, if somebody from zero has to learn to support their family, it's more or less the same when I, as a German middle-class guy, decide to become a millionaire and to build a huge business or something. Like the learnings or the growing is very similar. And this hooked me, this idea of how can I grow and learn in order to maybe one day help other poor people, not even in the Philippines, but help other people to grow as well. And this was one huge step for me to start my whole growing journey as a business, but also as my personal growth. This was one thing in terms of entrepreneurship. And the same was in terms of my personal growth, because after 2 years in the Philippines, I really was burned out. Some stuff happened in our team. Some stuff happened in our business. Also, the cultural stress in the first 2 years was quite high. I was always afraid to do some wrong things or to behave not in the right way or to push people away because I did something too German or something. So there was a constant fear. And after 2 years, I was totally done. I was just depressed. And for maybe about 5 or 6 months, I didn't do much. That's when I started the YouTube channel, because that was the first thing that was fun for me to do, like videos. And I was so down that I went to a coach who lived in Davao, or a therapist, and he helped me to just unravel some of my belief systems, the things that I'm telling myself, and to work with me on my identity. And this was the start for me to think about personal development and personal growth. So without the Philippines, without the stress, without the influence from all the people, without the differences between Germany and the Philippines, without the friendliness from the Filipino people, I think I would just be a totally different person now.
Right. Could you actually imagine your life hadn't you not like gone to the Philippines in the first place?
Would probably work in some hospital in some place in Germany, because I originally am a nurse too, which could have been a good life. I have no idea, but it was like a big cut in my life in Germany. Also many friends who had before, because 3 years for some people, it's quite a long time. So some contacts, some relationships just dissolved. Some new ones stayed even deeper. Some new ones from the Philippines came in. So so much changed for me. Also, my belief system in terms of my religious beliefs totally changed in those last years, also through experience that I made in the Philippines. So I think, so I'm so grateful for Filipinos in general, but also just for this experience. Maybe it could have been another country as well. I'm not sure. So grateful because I, as you said, I couldn't imagine. It was one of the most important things I did yet, to just go away for 3 years.
If I translate your podcast, it's like how to become self-confident, basically.
Yeah.
Or self-bewusstsein, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's like
yeah, self-awareness, self-confidence, right.
Okay. I'm just trying to think, were you always actually confident, or did living in the Philippines give you like extra confidence in yourself?
It first destroyed my confidence, I guess.
Oh.
I was like growing up, I was more a bullying victim kind of guy. So I wasn't confident at all. I was very insecure. And my growing up in my church as well was very strict. So there were a lot of issues growing up and I wasn't confident at all. I was loud though. Sometimes I was like a clown. I was loud, but I wasn't confident. And in the Philippines, so many things happened that I felt like a baby again, because like the first night, we arrived in the Philippines in Manila. We spent, I think, 4 days in Manila. And then we moved straight to Samar in a small one-room house with plywood and just, like very, very simple, no running water, just limited amount of electricity. So it was very limited. So we had to walk to the fountain, to the water place there and get some water in water jugs. So for us, it was totally different, totally very simple. And I felt like a baby. I couldn't talk to the people. I didn't know how to behave. When I was carrying my water jugs, I was falling down all the time. People were laughing because they were too shy to come to help, because it was like those huge Western guys are there. And then it was like so strange. And I felt like a little baby. And this was part of the stress that I felt. And it helped me to lose all the... I didn't even know who I was anymore.
Insecurities.
Yeah, all the insecurities came up. And this allowed me to work on those things as well. So and I wasn't confident at all. It developed. And I think when I started the podcast, I didn't start it because I'm so self-confident. I started it because it's really my topic. It's really what I want to be. I want to become more confident every day, more self-aware every day. It's part of my journey. And that's why I started the podcast.
Do you think that actually self-confidence is a common, or self-awareness is a common like issue for people? Like, I don't know in the Philippines if this is really a big issue, but maybe do you think in Germany it's like a bigger kind of issue people have? I'm actually not sure.
It's a good question. From my experience, it's a huge, huge issue. I think I haven't met many people who didn't have deep self-worth troubles or self-awareness struggles or identity struggles or so. It's just when I feel very comfortable in my surroundings, when nothing is challenging me too hard, I don't see it, because it's just fine the way it is. As soon as I step out of my comfort zone, move to a different country, get a new job, start my own business, whatever it is, or standing in the middle of the marketplace in the city and trying to sing, whatever it is, just get out of your comfort zone. You will see all those things that holding you back. And in most cases, I think it's self-confidence. And in the Philippines, sometimes I felt the issue, the collective understanding of self-confidence is even lower than in Germany. In Germany, it has kind of some because of all the World War stuff going on. So there's a lot of cultural pressure in terms of the things that our people did in the past. But in the Philippines, I always felt especially in Samar, especially in the countryside, that people are very, very shy, and not just shy, not very self-confident. Because when a poor person meets a rich person, immediately there's this kind of disconnect. There's this kind of, oh, I'm smaller, and people will kind of turn away and cover their mouth when they are laughing, because it's just like it's there's a lot of shame going around. And in Germany, maybe it's not that obvious, but I believe it's just the same thing. The same. People don't show it so openly, maybe, but I believe it's just the same. So part of my job or part of what I want to do is to grow further, to become more self-confident, and also to help. It feels good to say that, actually, to help as much people as possible to become not just self-confident, but to really live a rich and fulfilled and enjoyable and just the life that they want, because they are growing as a person. And all these things for me started with my Philippines experience. It's nice. It's good that we're making this podcast. It helps me to reflect too.
That's good to know. That's a very noble cause, actually. And I think, you know, once you kind of help other people unlock, because I think becoming self-confident helps you unlock like hidden potential in you. Like I'd say same thing about me. Like I wasn't always that confident, but when I became more confident about myself, I think I was able to do more. I became more productive. I became, I don't know, it's just like you become a better person, a better version of yourself, I think. And you're able to do more. And I think like you said, you became a coach, you started your podcast, and that's a byproduct of you being actually confident. And also you just mentioned something right now about, like, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone. And I think that's like really for me, and this is why I started my podcast, is actually I want to encourage people to step out of their comfort zones. And this is, I mean, I'm in Germany. I'm not even like in Berlin or something. Like I'm in a smaller city in Germany with, I don't know, maybe like 20 Filipino people altogether. It's not a hot spot for like foreign workers, or is it for Filipino people? But, you know, I just wanted to step outside my comfort zone and see. Yeah. And I think as I've been living here longer, I think I'm becoming, even more self-aware, learning more about myself. I think when you step out of your comfort zone, you don't just learn about like that new environment you're stepping into, but you also start to reflect about yourself, which is actually what you're doing right now. When you're talking about your experiences, you're reflecting about your past experiences and how that actually helped you get to where you are.
Yeah, 100%. And I would like to encourage people also who are listening to this podcast to not just step out of your comfort zone, but really to take time to reflect, to look back at the day today, at yesterday, at the last week, and to see what challenged me, what changed me, what made me happy, what made me angry, what made me sad. Like to take some time to reflect about those things, because there's so much insight about how we work as a person, how I work, how my patterns are in my head or in my heart, how I could change this. And there are so many hints to find out what I really want. And if I have a picture of what I want from life, I could go back and see, do I really believe that this is possible or not? One of my visions for the Philippines is to come back someday and to start a foundation or a business in poor areas or maybe in the slums to help people to dream. Just a quick story. When we were in Samar, we did some kind of we gathered some children around just to have a good time and to have some kind of feeding and to just spend time with the kids. And one of the things that I try to do is to encourage them to think about what they want from life, what they want to become, what kind of jobs they want to have, or how they imagine their life. And until the age of maybe 6, 7, maybe 8, they have a very clear picture. They have, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a pilot. I want to be different things. But when they get teenagers, those dreams just fade away because everybody else is poor too. Everybody else is just a fisherman too, which is fine to be a fisherman if you want to. But like the dreams of becoming somebody else or of getting rich or whatever it is, they just slowly fade away, which is very sad, I believe. And those people that I talked to who really changed their lives around in a huge, they had parents or friends or some people who encouraged them to think big, to believe, to work for it, to go for it, whatever it is. And I really want to encourage people to do that. It doesn't really matter if it's the Philippines or Germany or some other place, but I think this is the biggest shift that has to happen to become more self-aware and to allow yourself to dream the life that you want to have.
Agree with you 100%. It's sad because like in the Philippines, you're right. A lot of people have dreams until they're like, I don't know, they're a teenager, and then like the reality sets in, yeah. and then they just feel like that they can't do it because like, oh, look at the people around me. They're not able to do it. If they yeah. can't do it, I can't do it. And that obviously that plays around with your mentality and your confidence in yourself. And you're right, because yeah. I'm actually confident because my mom, she's always been supportive of me. Like anything you do, she's like, okay, you want to do this? You really want to do this? I'll find a way to make it happen. Even though mm-hmm. we weren't a very rich family, like she found a way like for me to be able to do stuff that I thought were good for me. And I think everybody kind of needs that opportunity with that yeah. one person to kind of just push them in the right direction. I think that's a really noble cause. So actually, when you do that, want to start that foundation, yeah, just let me know. I'd gladly help.
Hey,
let's do it. Let's do it.
The first business partner is there. The first foundation founder is there. That would be nice. That would be so cool.
Should do it in Tacloban because you already know people there.
just imagine how it would be if like a couple of years from now we would really do that and just listen back to this podcast and this is where it started. That would be so cool.
Why not? I know another guy, Sim. Maybe we could get him into that.
Oh yeah. He would like that too.
He's probably open. But yeah, that would be really nice.
Yeah, with a couple of $1,000, you could do big things in the Philippines.
A lot. Couple thousand bucks here is like, yeah, it's a lot. It's not much. You can't really help a lot. But like in the Philippines, that's especially like in countryside Philippines, that's a lot of money. You can a lot of things. You can put someone through like a university or whatever there.
Yeah, it costs like maybe 50 euros a month to send somebody to a good university.
If you go to a public one.
Yeah,
if you go to a public one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Easy. It's a good thing that we talk about this. Thank you, Lawin.
It was really nice. But yeah, I think I've asked you all I want to ask you. It's been a really, really nice conversation. And it's just the flow was so natural. And I really like how noble your causes are and how actually that one experience of you stepping outside of your comfort zone actually drove you to your present, to like where you are right now, how it contributed so much in who you are as a person and actually the outcome of like your career. And it's amazing. And that one trip that did that much for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.